Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It is really interesting because because Pastor Harold was ministering last weekend, I kind of started doing research for this weekend already last week, and you know, came across a few things while I was just busy reading the Word and studying the Word. And I was actually in the book of Titus when something really grabbed my attention. And it's been on my heart a long time. But, you know, sometimes there's certain things you really just want to wait until God releases you to bring a message. Can you say amen? Or God will give you little bits and pieces and then He'll say to you, right now I want you to release this. And, you know, the vision for this church was very clear. God gave us a very clear directive right from the beginning, and that was to bring the fire of God to our city. Now we know that we do that by bringing His love and His power, by demonstrating and teaching His love and power, we will see His fire. Can you say amen? But one thing that the fire also represents is it's a refining fire. So what that does is it cleans out the junk. Amen. So that's why I'm here as well. Amen. Amen. So every now and then, God gives me something that we need to learn. And it was interesting because when I was studying this, I never realized, and I'm just being completely transparent with you, I never realized how serious what I'm going to teach you today actually is. I never realized how destructive it is for a Christian. And as a congregation that I believe has been placed in this city to be part of taking the harvest, and I believe that with all my heart, that we are going to take the harvest in this city with whoever else decides to come along and do it with us. Amen. You know, them, us, who cares? But we're going to take the harvest. Amen. So, you know, but part of that requires us to be in one accord, to operate as one as the body, and to just go for God. Amen. Just to take the heavenly vision and let's fly. Can you say amen? So I was studying this and went into some more research and really did a broad research, you know, broad study of this. And I was, as I say, I was absolutely shocked. So let's go to Acts 20 and we'll start in verse 28. And I want to show you, this is now a message that's been given to the pastors. This is actually given to pastors or leaders. You could say leaders rather. This is what he says. He says, therefore, take heed to yourselves. So he's talking to the leaders now and he's saying, listen, take heed to yourselves. In other words, take care of yourselves. Look after yourselves. Don't burn yourselves out. Be wise. Don't get yourself into trouble. Take care of yourselves. Amen. Amen. Come on, guys. Hello. And to the flock. So he's saying, look after yourselves and also take care of the congregation, the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Now that's a very serious statement right there. In other words, he's saying, listen, I want you to look after yourselves. I also want you to take care of the congregation, the flock that I've given in your care, that I've made you an overseer over. You know, but don't forget that this is very serious, because these people, you and these people, have been paid for with a very great price. Amen. So as a pastor, as a leader, and as any one of you that are leaders in any form of position, and even you can look at this, you know, you're a Christian man. So if you have a Christian man, woman, when I say man, I mean Christian person, regardless of where you are leading. And we have to lead in a way that we take care of the people in our care. Amen. But it's very serious. It's very, very serious, because Jesus paid a great price for his flock, for His bride. And it's important that we as overseers make sure we take care of that with the greatest care. Amen. Now watch, verse 29. For I know this. Now watch, because it gets quite serious now. That after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. In other words, they won't care about the people. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things. Now it's very interesting, because most of the time when we see that word perverse, we think of like perversion. But actually the Greek word there has nothing to do with that. That word perverse actually speaks of, in the Greek, it actually means that they will speak twisted things. They will speak distorted things. They will speak crooked things. Listen, they will speak things to lead you astray. To lead you astray. To destroy you. They will come to you and they will say things that will sound great. They will say things that will sound good. They will say things that will make you feel good or whatever it is. But the purpose of that is to lead you astray. In fact, if you look and you read on, it says that they will speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. It's very quiet in Vero Beach. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now let's stop there for 1 second. I don't know about you, but that's serious. For 3 years, he wept night and day regarding this situation. That there would be people that would speak perverse words that would basically pervert you because of their words and destroy you because of what they're doing, leading you astray. Now, why is this so serious to Paul? Because, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be funny, but like every now and then we say things we probably shouldn't, right? Okay, we try our best not to, but we do. But why is this so serious? And I want to take a little bit deeper look, and I'm going to show you some more examples of how serious this is in the Bible, and then I'm going to go into the Old Testament and show you where it all started. Is that okay? Okay, so now have a look. He starts this with the same urgency. Watch, 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 10. Okay, now please understand, church, I'm sharing this with you because I want to protect you. I want to protect you here, whether you leave here one day, whether you come from somewhere and this has been in your experience. It's time that this kind of thing is not a part of our lives. As a pastor, I've got to be so careful what I say against other pastors, against other ministries, against people in the congregation. I have to watch my mouth. Amen. So we have to always be sure that we guard our hearts, because if we guard our hearts, our mouths will speak only good things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. But I want to show you again just the urgency. So 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I plead with you. Again, you see an absolute urgency. I'm pleading with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things. Unity. Unity. I'm pleading. I prayed. I wept for you 3 years. Because I don't want this thing. This thing is destructive. This thing comes to destroy you. Now he's saying, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you that you all speak the same things and that there be no divisions among you. But that you be perfect, joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So once again, we see an incredible urgency when it comes to someone that speaks in a way that brings division. Or wants to bring division. Amen. Now listen, I'm not preaching this from a situation of I know about you and I know about you and now I want to get you. No. God has been giving me a hard time about this. I did not want to preach this. I wanted to preach about love this weekend. We just did heaven. It was all set up. Okay. I was ready. In fact, I can show you my notes. But God would not leave me alone. And I believe it's not because there's anybody doing anything wrong. But I'm warning. It's like a warning in the spirit. And it's something that we need to cleanse ourselves of. Amen. I mean, this morning, I tell you right now. In fact, I sat this morning when we were taking communion. And I just thought to myself, have I spoken against any minister? Have I spoken against the ministry? Have I come against people? I don't want to come against anybody. I want my heart to be pure. I don't want anything to separate me from God. Amen. So please, this is not an attack on any individual. It really, before God, it is not. Amen. But if the shoe fits, what can I say? Amen. All right. So, okay. Okay. Amen. I don't know why I do stuff like that. Amen. Okay. Okay. Amen. We all need to examine ourselves. The Bible says examine yourself. And it's something we need to do constantly. Amen. The day you think you're perfect and you are without blemish, brother, you're in serious trouble. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 1. I need to get moving. I've got a lot to get through. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. In other words, you are still like the world. For where there are envy, strifes, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Romans 16, 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. What? I don't know about you, but that's shocking. So in other words, a person, go back to the last scripture, please. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Next verse. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. And by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. I don't know about you, but that seems very serious. That seems very, very serious. Now let's go to the next verse. Jude 18. Next scripture, sorry. Jude 18, 19. Now watch. It's going to get heavy. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last times who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Capital S. So the word is saying that someone who is sensual, who comes in and tries to constantly cause division, does not have the Spirit. Now, why is this so serious? And why is it that it suggests almost like the person who's doing this and causing division or trying to lure people away and cause division? Why is it that it is so serious? Where do we see that this is so serious? Now, I want to give you one more scripture. And then, I'm going to give you two more. Okay. And then we're going to move on. But now watch. Titus 3. This is the verse that actually got me started. Titus 3, verse number 10. Reject a divisive man. A divisive man is a person who causes division or wants to bring division. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned, not having the Spirit, self-condemned, not serving the Lord Jesus. That is the description of someone who is divisive or causing division within the church or outside of the church. Because oftentimes you'll find it's someone that's left the church that is now trying to cause division. And as Paul said in the book of Acts, he says, they're trying to lure you to themselves. Amen. Okay, everybody say, keep going, Pastor. Now, one more scripture, and this is extremely important. I want to show you something out of the book of Jude. Now, I'm going to read some stuff to you now I cannot even possibly begin to explain it to you, because we're talking about some stuff here that actually comes out of, he's talking about stuff from the book of Enoch and all kinds of stuff here that's heavy. But I want to show you the category that he categorizes what we're going to go and study this morning with, the category that they fall under. Amen. Are you guys still okay? Amen. Every Sunday is different. Please understand that most Sunday mornings we just hallelujah and praise God. We go for it. But sometimes we need to do something that's a bit more serious. Is that okay? It's not always just feel good. Amen. All right. Jude 5, verse number 11. Jude 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers, defile the flesh, reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts in these things, they corrupt themselves. Now watch. Woe to them. And there's three warnings here. That they have gone in the way of Cain. Number one. Have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. Number two. And now comes the last one. And perished in the rebellion of Korah. Perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now you can see there's a whole lot of stuff there. That's some serious stuff. And at the end, he gives them a warning and says, make sure you don't go the way of these three things. The one we're going to look at, which directly relates to what I've shared with you this morning, is what is the rebellion of Korah? Let's go take a look. Let's go to Numbers 11. Let's go straight there. Amen. Okay. Now Korah, the son of Izzah, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dothan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. They took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men renowned. It's very interesting that many times when someone wants to cause division, they always target the leaders in the group. They'll target the cell leaders. They'll target your leaders. Wherever you are, they'll always target the leaders to try and strengthen what they're trying to do, what they're trying to try and strengthen the division or the rebellion that they're wanting to bring. It always amazes me. Wanting desperately to try and pervert them, like I taught you earlier on. Twist something. Lead them astray. Can you say amen? They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, now watch, you take too much upon yourself. In other words, Moses, you want to do everything your way. I don't think you should do things like this, Moses. You know, you need to do things like this. You know, Moses, maybe we should do things like this. And Moses, you know, I don't think that's right. I think we should actually do them like this. I think we need to have this kind of study and not that kind of study. You know, Moses, I don't like your style. I think you're trying to take control. I think you're trying to be the boss, Moses. You take too much upon yourselves. And watch, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Now, it's interesting because there's no dispute about that. Of course the congregation is holy. Of course the congregation hears from God as well. No one is denying that. But what they're doing is they are trying to rise up against Moses, and he's the one who's been delegated authority and been set apart to do that task. Now they're saying, listen, we don't like the way you're doing it. We don't like what you're doing. We want to do it our way. And they're now saying that, aren't we holy as well? No one's questioning whether you're holy. No one's questioning whether you hear from God. No one's questioning that at all. But why are you trying to do my job? Why are you trying to tell me how I must run things? Why are you trying to tell me how I should pray? You don't like the way we pray, so you criticize the way we pray. God told me to pray that way. Fight with God. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm just using an example here, but I've got a lot to say about this. Amen. Are you guys still okay? Okay. For all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Amen. The problem is, and this is where the issue comes in, is that Korah is coming in with all the leaders who he's now managed to get to stand by him. And he's coming in and he's saying, listen, Moses, you know, you take too much on yourself. You know, we think that, you know, you need to listen to us, and we don't really like your leadership structure and the way you've set things up, and we want to do this and that. And he comes in with another vision. But God has already given Moses a vision. So now there's two visions, which is die or buy, and that brings division. As soon as there's someone coming in with a different vision to the vision that was originally given, there's trouble. Amen. Amen. That's why God appoints one person, gives one person the vision. I didn't come and set the church up with a whole team of people. We all decided God spoke to all of us. No, God spoke to me. And God told me to come and plant the church here. He gave me a vision. We will stick to that vision. He will bring people up alongside me. And I'm just giving this church as an example. He will bring people up alongside me, and I will listen to them. I will take their counsel, and I will listen to whether God's speaking or the devil's speaking or who's speaking. And don't let me tell you, God, the devil can use me to speak too sometimes. Amen. Very seldom though, you know. But if he can use Peter, he can use anyone. Come on. Amen. We guard our hearts. We have the Holy Spirit. So we try and really filter that stuff. Amen. And as you grow, it becomes less and less. But the enemy's like a roaring, like a lion who wants to devour and destroy. Amen. There are people sitting in this church that have had churches before that know exactly what I'm talking about, because the board told them what to do. The board controlled the pastor. That's why this is a non-denominational church. We do not have a board like that. If you want to have a board like that, you need to go to the denominational church that has a board. Yes, I have a board. I have a steering committee, a spiritual steering committee of people who have been in ministry for 30 years plus. Those are the ones who speak into my life. And we are setting up a board, a local board within the household of faith. But that's not to tell me what to do. That's to give me advice, to strengthen me, to build me up as the pastor, as the leader, because God's given me the vision. Amen. 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 Now watch the attitude. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? See his heart. He's looking at Moses and he's like, you know, now you're exalting yourself and you think that you're the holy and great one. So when Moses heard it, Moses hears this and Moses falls on his face because he understands what is about to take place. Moses doesn't fall on his face like this very often in the Bible, if you go study it. But he falls on his face because he's terrified knowing what's about to take place. He gets such a shock in the spirit, understanding the seriousness of what takes place. And he spoke to Korah, verse number 5, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy. When he says that, he's not talking about holy. He's talking about who has been consecrated to the task. Who's been made holy to do this task? In other words, to lead like this. They've also been made holy to lead in a specific way, in a specific dimension. No one will ever challenge that. Amen. Who is holy and who will cause him to come near to him? That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this, take censers, Korah, and all your company. Put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves. Now he's busy telling them, listen, you guys take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. Then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them? I mean, he's saying to them, listen, guys, you are leaders. God is using you. You've got the opportunity. Why are you trying to take my job? Why are you trying to tell me what to do? Why are you trying to lead the people to follow you and not follow the vision that God has given us? Amen. It's very, very quiet, but it's good. It's amen. Amen. Because I'm laying a foundation, but I'm going to get into some stuff just now. It's not just, this is not really even about this church, to be honest. I'm going to show you some things this morning. And that he brought you near to himself and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you. And are you seeking the priesthood also? As I said, are you now seeking my job? Do you want to be the leader now? Do you want to tell everyone what to do? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. Now, you see, Moses is very clever, because Moses knows that God told him to do what he was doing. So at that point now, he knows that Korah is not challenging him. Korah is challenging God. Let me say this. We have a standard in this ministry that will never change. That will never change. Holiness, uprightness, prayer, dedication, excellence. These are things that this ministry stands for. And I will not drop that standard because it's comfortable or nice. How many of you in this place say, Pastor, we want revival. We want to see lives change. We want to see people encounter God. We are tired of the same old, same old, same old. I'm tired of the nya, nya, nya. I want to see God move. I'm sick and tired of all this nonsense. And we've got to worry about this. And we've got to not say this. And we've got to be careful not to do this. And be careful not to say that. Because you may just offend someone. And you may just hurt somebody's feelings. And don't tell people anymore that it's not good to sin. Because if you tell them not good to sin, then they'll feel condemned. No, 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 my friend. The Holy Spirit's the one telling you not to sin. No, it's not okay. Sit, 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 sit. Amen. I want to go ahead so badly because I want to show you the things I want to show you, but I need to finish this first. Are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron? That you complain against him. It's funny how they bring Aaron into it as well. Meanwhile, the debate and the argument actually has nothing to do with Aaron. It really is just we want your position, Moses. We don't like your leadership style. We don't like what you're doing. We think that you're doing it your way. We don't think that you have achieved what you said God would bring through you. Now we want to take over. That's basically it. What it is it's absolute rebellion and division. Right there. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. But they said, we will not come up. So now they're so mad, they don't even want to come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land? Watch. Out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us. Look at the heart of these people. Moses, you think you the great leader, you act like a prince. Listen, you told us you would bring us out you said you would bring us and you would take us to revival and we were going to do this, and it hasn't happened, Moses. Why hasn't it happened? Is it Moses' fault? Everybody's very quick to point the finger at the leader. Listen, they went round and round in the wilderness because the people were not ready. Pastor, why do you keep talking about prayer? Pastor, why do you keep talking about the heart? Pastor, why do you keep talking about worship? Because these are the principles that will enter us into a state of revival. Amen. Why do you keep talking about grace? Because I know how dangerous it is right now. I was sharing with the group yesterday, and I need to be very quick because I need to finish. But they've actually discovered a gland inside people's brains. This gland is if you sin constantly and you no longer feel bad, what happens is that gland becomes crystallized. So the more you don't repent, the more you just walk around thinking you can do what you want, the more you become, it becomes crystallized and it causes you to no longer even feel bad. Now, I'm not suggesting for one second that you must be beating yourself with a stick. Come on, I understand righteousness and the blood. For goodness sake, we walk in that. Amen? Amen, we are free. Hallelujah. But that doesn't mean that we can now live the way we want and not repent and walk out our sanctification with God. Amen? Okay, let's not get into that. Let's move on. Moreover, you have not brought us into the land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. See, they're complaining. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, do not respect their offerings. Now Moses is talking to God. Listen, God, please, you got to sort this thing out. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them. And Moses said to Korah, tomorrow you and all your company be present before the Lord, you and they, as well as Aaron. Let each take a censer and put incense in it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer. So each man took his censer, put fire in it, and laid incense on it, and stood at the door of the tabernacle of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against him at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all of the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. In other words, what God is saying, listen, these people, Moses, after what you said last night, they still don't repent. They still don't want to deal with their hearts. They still want to come up against the plan I have for them. They still want to come up against you who I've appointed to take them into the promised land. Here's the key. It's only a small group. Don't get yourself attached. Don't join in. Don't become a partaker. Listen, don't attack ministries. I don't attack other pastors. I don't always agree with them, guys. I don't. Even in this city I live in, I don't agree with everything I see. But it's not my job to go out and correct them. God has appointed them to do what they're doing. He must sort them out. It's not my job. So I'm not going to go on Facebook and post about how bad that pastor is. And do you realize when you go and click that you agree that you are a part of that? You will also be destroyed. Oh no, I won't, Pastor. Wait and watch. I'm not saying this because this is not a joke. This is very serious. Do you remember the day I told you I sinned? Not too long ago. It was because I was so mad at a pastor that went and criticized other pastors. And you know what? If he wants to destroy himself, that's his business. But then all the people who are innocent, who are hurt, go and agree with him. And now they also will be destroyed, possibly. Or rebellion will enter in their hearts, and it is so dangerous. So I get so mad. I want to just bock do it. That means kill them all. Not them, the pastor, actually. But you understand, that's how angry I get. Because I know how severe this is. You may have a different type of call, a different type of anointing, whatever it is. That's fine. You go do it. Go achieve, go fly, go be all God called you to do. But listen, right here in Vero Beach, God called us to do what we're doing in this church. And I'm not going to change it because you want it to be that way. I do not agree with everything, but I do not attach myself to it. I do not now attack. It's not my job. It's not my responsibility. God said, I want you to take this church. I want you then to affect the city. That's my job. That's what we'll do. I'm not going to worry about Pastor Joe Soap down the road and Pastor Nick Nacks down the other side and everything he's doing wrong. Listen, if I want to, I can sit right now and I can take every single church and I can say, oh, well, no, that leadership, yeah, that's wrong. And he shouldn't be doing that. And, you know, he should be visiting more in hospital and he should be doing this more. And, you know, he doesn't have much love. And this pastor, yeah, oh, no, you know, there's no Holy Spirit in this church. And there's no, oh, no. Really? Is it my responsibility to do that? And unfortunately, the world has become of such that your agreement with it becomes like that. Now all of a sudden the people realized the severity. Verse 22. Then they fell on their faces and said, oh God, the God of the spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin? Now all of a sudden it looks like they're all blaming one guy. And you be angry with all the congregation? So the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the congregation and say, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men, touching nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and their wives, their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, by this, now watch, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. See, it's got nothing to do with Moses. If these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by a common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord, not Moses. Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they all, those with them, went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them and they perished from among the assembly. Then all of Israel who were around them fled at their cry. And they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And a fire came out of the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, tell Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, to pick up the censers out the blaze for they are holy, and scatter the fire some distance away. Now watch this. The censer of these men who sinned against their own souls. Let's stop right there. I can go on because there's more, but I want to stop right there. Who sinned against their own souls. If you remember what I spoke about earlier on, is that what it does when you try and bring division, when you try and become divisive, what it does is it causes destruction in such a way that you no longer even are led by the Spirit. You are led by something else. In fact, the word says that it's like you no longer even serve the Lord. That's how serious it is. That's why Paul would weep for three years concerning this. That's why he said, I plead with you, because he understood how severe this actually is. And I'm not talking about Oceans Unite here, because to be honest with you, we have great unity in our church. Thank God. Amen. People the divisive ones tend to just leave. By the grace of God. And I don't say that I'm happy about it. But they do. Amen. And I'm not saying now everyone who was divisive left. Come on, some people left for other reasons. Amen. But there have been some that have been divisive that have left. And that's good. Rather they leave than stay and cause division. Amen. It is very serious. It is very serious. I saw the other day, something on Facebook again. This Facebook, my goodness. You know, someone criticizing a pastor. They know nothing about this pastor. They know nothing about what he's done. I know, because I happen to know a little bit about his story. Criticizing him because he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. But they've got no idea that this pastor's, I mean, for goodness sake, man, he's lost his kids for the ministry. Given his life for the ministry, but you want to tell him how to run his church. That his leadership style isn't right. And you go and you post this all over Facebook, and then the poor innocent people go and agree. And it's division. It's rebellion. As a pastor, my responsibility when I go on Facebook and post things, if I go out and stir rebellion amongst the people, God help me. And I see pastors going on Facebook or off the pulpits criticizing other ministers by name sometimes. It is so dangerous, but you don't realize the destruction is not only yours. You cause the people to come into agreement. And then you go and post things about how the church shouldn't be like this, and you criticize the church. Then the person that's in the congregation in New York rises up in the church, causes division in that church. And it's because of your words. I have the fear of God when it comes to this church. And I have realized the severity, the urgency, the seriousness of this. Not only for Oceans, but for the body of Christ as a whole. If you see someone criticizing, listen, it's not about the man of God with all the hour for power for the hour. Come on, let's move past that. Imagine I go to a doctor and say, listen, doctor, you know, I don't think you should operate like that. Are you crazy? You know, I read some medical journals last week. I think I know. Come on. You know, the problem is that this teaching has been destructive for the body of Christ. I know that. But it's not about control or manipulation. You know, the Bible in the book of Joel speaks about the end times. And one of the things that's part of that prophecy that most of them forget to read is where it says that each one will be in line, will know their place, and no one will step out of order. You know why? Because what you do for God, you will be so excited because you'll know this is your purpose. You'll know this is what you're supposed to be doing. You'll be so excited. There's people in this church that have started ministries outside the church, helping homeless people and all kinds of things, and God is using them so powerfully. We all have a part to play. And listen, I will not stand in anybody's way. I've got young men and women in this church that we're busy raising up. Other couples sitting in this church that I don't know how long they'll be here. God will raise them up. We'll send them out. Let's do it. Amen. The more the merrier. Hallelujah. But if there's one thing I want you to remember and me to remember, let's protect our hearts. Above all, protect your heart. Don't allow defilement and division to enter into you because you think you have the solution. If you have the solution, that means you have a vision. Go start something. But don't bring it into the body and cause destruction and lure away people. And I see them get lured away and I see them get hurt. And it's all because of one person that starts doing this. Amen. And you guys know I love you so much. I really do. I'm so thankful for this church. I love this church. I love each and every one of you. My wife laughs at me because we talk about how I pack my diary. And people come to me and they say to me, Pastor, you know, I need to see you. And I go to Naomi and I say, you know, Naomi, but this person, that's so important. And she laughs at me. Because that's how I feel. I feel like everyone is so important. And I want to help everyone. And my team, we're working, we're raising up a team. We've got great cell leaders in this church, or youth group leaders that are busy being raised up. We've got wonderful zone leaders that we're busy raising up. And we've got other things we're going to be setting up to give more opportunities to people. But let's not worry about each other's function. Let's Let's go for the prize. Let's take the harvest. Amen. Amen. Can we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your word, because your word is truth. And Father, I never realized when I studied before this passage, the severity of it. I never put the Old Testament with Korah, and I never put the division, I never put it together like this. But Father, it is incredible, because you see with Paul specifically, when he almost cries out in urgency, saying to the guys, watch out for this, because this is destructive and this will cause these people to become so damaged and harmed. And Father, we don't want that. So this morning in this place, we repent. I repent, Father, if I have ever spoken against anyone. Lord, we do not want to cause division, strife for any other church, for any other ministry. We want to focus on the goal that you've given us, Father. We want to take the vision that you've given this house, and we want to run with it, Lord, for you. We want to fulfill destiny and purpose, every single one of us, knowing our part, fulfilling our part to the best of our ability, so that we can finish this race strong, just like Paul did. And Father, I thank you for every precious person that's here this morning. I ask that you bless them, that you strengthen them, that you encourage them. Father, that they will leave here strengthened, encouraged, and that they will know, Father, that they are in your will, fulfilling your purpose and plan for their lives. Now, Lord, we look forward to what you have for us. We look forward to the harvest that you've committed, that you've given us. For we've already seen it, Lord. We have seen the highways and the byways of this city. We have seen how this church will go to the brokenhearted, how we will go to the homeless, how we will go to the drug addicts, how we will go out, Father, and we will minister to those that do not get ministered to, because it's our heart's desire. You've put it inside of us, that fire that you've given us, that passion, that zeal that you've given us. We will take it outside the four walls of this church, Father, and the people sitting here this morning will be the ones that will take it. And so I thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with every single person as they leave here this morning, Father. We love you, we praise, and we worship you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.